Hello and welcome to the Life Care Services Health Services Division podcast. I'm Tony Galvan, Director of Health and Wellness for Life Care Services. And with me today, we have Meredith Mull, Director of Rehabilitation Standards for Life Care Services, and Ryan Turner, Associate Executive Director at Rolling Green Village, which is one of our life plan communities in Greenville, South Carolina. Good morning, Meredith, and good morning, Ryan.
Morning.
Good morning.
So in today's podcast, Meredith and I will have a conversation with Ryan in which we'll ask about various components of Rolling Green Village's post-acute care strategy. Specifically, we'll talk about some therapeutic programming components along with aspects of the health and wellness navigation program. So Meredith, I'll hand it over to you and let you get things started with Ryan.
Thanks, Tony. And Ryan, we're so glad that you are joining us here today because I think it's really cool, some of the stuff that you have going on in the community. And what a great opportunity for some of our peers to hear about kind of how savvy you guys are as it comes to your post-acute strategy. And one of the things that I really like about what's happening at Rolling Green Village is your introduction of a respiratory therapy program. So I think most of our SNFs know that the phase two requirements of participation have an RT critical element pathway piece to it that includes really specific clinical programs and protocols for residents who require oxygen or nebulizers, inhalers, maybe need breathing exercises or have different diagnoses related to respiratory or sleep apnea, trach vents. And many of our SNF partners out there in the industry really lack the ability to provide an RT resource. So I think, could you talk to our listeners a little bit about what made you decide to engage in an LCS preferred vendor program that has a full respiratory therapy program?
Sure. First off, I wanted to thank you both for having me be a part of the session today. I want to share with you the things we've been doing at Rolling Green Village and look forward to speaking to anybody else that might have any questions or want to move forward with this. On the respiratory therapy side, we worked very closely with Life Care Services and some of the post-acute folks to develop a strategy to implement respiratory therapy at Rolling Green Village. And it really started back in 2014 when we started to see that accountable care organizations were growing in the Greenville market. So both St. Francis Health System and Greenville Health System started to create partnerships and were looking at ways to find organizational synergies. We met with them and they came out to our campus. We met with them in person a couple different times. And one of the themes that kept coming up was respiratory therapy. Have you ever thought of having somebody come out? Do you ever work with one? And at that point in time, we had not. So we were listening, doing a lot of listening and understanding what our hospital partners wanted. And over a period of time working with the Life Care Services folks, we came up with the idea to start researching it and really see how we could make that possible. So something that took a while in the making, so well over a year and a half before we actually implemented it. But in October of 2016, we did bring Encore on. That was an introduction that Cindy Nelson gave us to the Encore folks to bring in respiratory therapy. They're one of the unique providers across the country is just getting going with it. And they've been a really great partner for us, helping us to implement the best practices and critical pathways that CMS is looking for and that our hospital providers really want.
And I think that you're not unique in the fact that there are so many markets across the country that have these bundled payment like BCPI programs or ACOs or just hospitals who have a discharge need to place patients with respiratory diagnoses. And I know a lot of SNF providers and a lot of our communities kind of hesitate in doing this due to the lack of the reimbursement. And with you being a small 23-bed TCU, I mean, were you really hesitant to kind of take this on knowing there wasn't direct reimbursement for RT and kind of how do you really afford to do it?
Yeah, so that's usually the first question that comes about. You know, as we stood back, we've got a board of directors and a strategic vision to be the provider of healthcare services in Greenville. So as we stood back and looked at it and discussed with the hospital partnerships what we needed to do to be successful, we saw through strategic planning and gathering of some data the top reasons why people in Greenville go to the hospital are CHF, COPD, and pneumonia. So we said, what is a way that we can be better in those three areas? You know, and it's respiratory therapy, having a dedicated therapist here to stabilize folks as they come to us. So we saw it as a huge strategic initiative. We need to be able to work with the hospitals closer. We need to make sure that we can take care of those folks when they come to us. And when they come to us, we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to stabilize them. Because the days are gone where the straightforward knees and hips are coming to skilled nurse facilities. So we needed to raise the clinical bar, which I believe we did with the respiratory therapist, to make sure that he screens every single person that comes in the door, being mindful of those comorbidities for CHF, COPD, pneumonia. It's been a significant piece. So we saw it as an investment in our strategy. Yes, it is an out-of-pocket expense. We do believe it also does help our folks to, right after the hospital, to become stabilized, but also to be able to get on track with proper breathing techniques to ensure that they can participate in physical therapy, occupational therapy, and or speech therapy. So yes, it is, it's an investment, but one that our board and our strategy has been behind since we started this initiative back in 2016.
I love that because you've really done your homework in the market and identified an opportunity and were able to fill a niche. And I think that's an important message when we're talking about post-acute strategy that we're trying to get out to a lot of communities. And you guys have done it textbook. And that's what I love about Rolling Green Village. So tell me from a therapy, a logistics perspective, you have a very unique situation in which a respiratory therapist comes from a different LCS preferred provider than your on-site PTOT speech program. So does this present any challenges for the community? Do you see them working well together? Kind of how does that work?
Yeah, they do. They work pretty well together. There's not a lot of space that Steve, our respiratory therapist, requires, you could say. He's really boots on the ground on the unit and in folks' rooms. So there's really not a territorial issue or concern. We did do an introduction at first and talked with one of our primary therapy provider Heritage and asked them if they could provide respiratory therapy. They said no. And I made sure that I let them know that we were going to be bringing on another partner to support us with our respiratory therapists and our focus to bring that to Rolling Green Village. So I think it was clear communication up front. And then ensuring that while he is here, he had a chance to connect with the therapy folks from Heritage. And it's really just he's part of our therapy team at Rolling Green Village. I don't think he's viewed significantly different or there's any type of approach that's taken differently towards him. He's part of our team to help us achieve the outcomes that we're setting forward to do.
Mm-hmm. And Heritage has been a great partner in terms of that. They've worked very well with external partners that kind of overlap a service that they may or did provide, marketing, RT. They've done that a lot in the North Carolina, South Carolina market. So they've been a great partner in that respect. But you mentioned outcomes. And so I want to talk a little bit about that because I think this is the meat and the crux of your program, right? So you've got, you know, an RT therapist in there that's from a different provider and vendor than your other therapy staff, and it's not a reimbursed program. So from a financial perspective, do you think, obviously, there was a need, you've identified an opportunity in your market. Do you think that has helped your census? Are you seeing more respiratory admissions?
Yes, I think that we are. You know, we've had a chance to connect within both health systems with the respiratory therapy navigators in both the health systems and we're introduced to them and had a chance to sit down with them and talk about the things that we do. One of the things holding us back is that we're not currently accepting folks with trachs. We didn't feel comfortable quite yet with our clinical expertise in the rehab unit. We do have a goal to do that eventually, but it has created different connections with both health systems. It's shown our commitment to clinically providing the best care possible. On the outcome side, we have seen a significant decrease in return to hospital for folks that our respiratory therapist has touched. So through showing an investment to the hospital systems and through sharing the data with them, we do see those folks coming to us. Our larger goal is to have a concerted program to be a, let's say, a cardiac center for excellence, which we're not quite there yet, but we do have ambitions to get there through this, you know, initial investment and focused on relationship and continuing to build those out, build upon those outcomes. Because as we're doing a great job, it's impacting the hospital's bundle payment initiative. So big, big focus for them, and it's a continued focus for us to be successful moving forward.
Yeah. And I did some homework on your respiratory therapy stats, which I thought was pretty cool. Some of the clinical things that were coming out of it. I know that you had mentioned return to hospital. And as I understood, in 2017, there were 101 patients that were on RT caseload. You had anywhere from COPD to sleep apnea, respiratory failure, CHF, pneumonia, and then very miscellaneous diagnoses that may just need breathing exercises like the flu or even a CVA. And that while those 101 patients were on respiratory therapy caseload, you only had one patient return to the hospital. So I would think that that is a great story to tell your referral sources when it comes to clinical outcomes.
Yeah, you're right. And it's something we have to go back and talk to that therapist about and say, hey, thanks for doing a great job. He really is doing an exceptional work being one consistent RT that's here 5 days a week. And it's continuing to build that clinical expertise within the community. We probably should do a better job of promoting that. And now that I've talked to you about that, we're definitely going to request it and take on a different initiative to continue to talk about the good things that we're doing, because sometimes people don't know that.
Yeah, for sure. So the average length of stay in your community for respiratory therapy is between 5 and 14 days for patients who had respiratory therapy at some point of their stay. And 23% of those patients went directly home from respiratory therapy. So, you know, 23% probably doesn't seem a lot, but those patients most likely stayed and continued on with other therapies, PT and OT and speech.
Correct.
And so from an ROI perspective, I know that's really hard to quantify, but do you see that you're getting a return on your investment? You know, is it just from a reputation perspective with referral sources in the greater community? Or do you really think this is putting more heads in beds? I'm providing this great clinical quality and it's really showing up for me financially.
You know, I do see it as providing that connection to the hospitals, continuing the conversation towards that center of excellence. You know, we are continuing to see referrals come in more over the last 6 months. We've continued to see it. I can't tell you exactly how many per month, but it has shown our commitment in getting those outcomes, and it's also the lives that we're touching, the people, that it has definitely been worth our investment.
I know you had a personal story that you wanted to share about a particular or maybe a recent patient and their respiratory therapy care. So I want to,
I wanted to share it with you. It's pretty cool. We have a gentleman who moved into our health center within the last 4 months. Both him and his wife got to the point where they needed skilled nursing care. And his wife was with us for a couple months before he moved in. But he was an end-stage CHF resident who moved in and had never spent much time with a respiratory therapist throughout his disease progression. When he was here, not on our rehab side for very long, but ended up staying long term. And as he developed a relationship with Steve, the respiratory therapist in the short term side, made a transition over to the long term side, and they really formed a close relationship. The resident actually had a term of endearment for Steve and nicknamed him Stevie Wonder. And throughout the time that he spent here with us, he unfortunately he just passed within the last month. Just continued to form a connection, visiting with Steve a couple times a week. Family reported to us just before this gentleman had passed. He talked to his family about the impact that Stevie Wonder made on him, and he said that you know, every nursing home should provide this type of care for folks that really need it. Just very, very thankful for that support. I know his family was too. I strongly believe that in the last few months of his life, that Steve was able to enhance his quality of life to be there for his wife who needed that support, and also for the family. So pretty cool the opportunity we have to touch folks' lives, you know, every single day, and the things that Steve is doing because we brought respiratory therapy to Rolling Green Village.
Yeah, that is an awesome story. That is awesome. And you know, in respiratory therapy is just kind of the tip of the iceberg. I know that Rolling Green Village has a ton of other really cool care navigation strategies and things that you guys are doing for your post-acute strategy in your particular market. And so I'm going to turn it over to Tony to talk a little bit about some of the other cool things you guys are doing. Tony?
Sure. Thank you, Meredith.
So Ryan, you know, it's interesting as we partner with our communities on helping them create, execute, and maintain their post-acute strategies. We, you know, we talk a lot about it's the right recipe, it's the right combination of things. And we kind of use this acronym PRO when we think about having an effective post-acute strategy, and it consists of having the right programs, relationships, and outcomes. So I think it's important to just, you know, as we continue this conversation with you and your team, and certainly as we have follow-up conversations, That's sort of the context to keep all of this in mind. So great to hear with one of the programs that you have going on, respiratory therapy, and how you're gleaning so much great successes from that. Wanted to talk a little bit about another program that makes up, again, another component of your community's post-acute strategy, and that's the Health and Wellness Navigation Program. And as we've been doing a lot of education and community implementation on the program, you know, what we found is really the need to make it as community specific as possible. And at Rolling Green Village, the model that just makes the most sense for you and your team is one of actually having hired someone, Shannon Horton, who is your health and wellness navigator, to really be the one that's there to connect all of those dots and to really lead your health and wellness navigation efforts. So you have a navigator, it's a person. At the same time, you do have this idea of navigation where there are other players that make up that navigation team and that navigation experience. So, and obviously how you're connecting folks to some of these therapeutic programs and components is a part of that as well. So just wanted to kind of set the stage for how navigation looks and feels at Rolling Green Village. So having done that, I want to hear from you as far as how you have leveraged your health and wellness navigator / navigation program to really help advance your post-acute strategy.
Sure. If I can start with, you know, the impact it's making on the community and the discussion with our independent living residents, we've gone on a limb in providing this navigation, because a lot of times our folks thought that some of our nurses and our navigators here were there just to move them from independent living into assisted living or skilled nursing. So we've been very intentional with educating our greater community and helping our independent living residents see the benefits of having a registered nurse on our team, with a focus on keeping them well and keeping them where they're at, because that's where they want to be. And honestly, that's where we want them to be. So Shannon has done a great job of getting acclimated in the community, getting to know the residents, diving in with them through their concerns, whether it's small or significant, more pressing or just day to day. And she's done an exceptional job. You know, her ability to get in and work with our over 500 independent living residents is off to a great start. The piece that we've been able to leverage with our preferred partnerships with St. Francis and Greenville Health System has been that, just like them, we are no longer episodic in the care that we're providing. You know, the navigator is somebody that's embedded in the independent living community to help support folks, not only after a skilled nursing stay, but even after an emergency room visit. To ensure that they stay well where they're at. So having a registered nurse with the clinical expertise that she has is really a significant value add to the preferred partners. And we see it as a way for us to try to help them shape how they can follow up in the community and provide that hands-on care as we move forward. You know, no longer are we episodic in the care we provide, but population health is a big buzzword. We're following folks well beyond our walls and well beyond once they visit Rolling Green Village. So extremely important for us to show that, hey, we're committed to this as well. We're not just going to talk it. We're going to hire a person that's going to be committed to doing this. And also developing relationships in the community, not just with the health systems, with hospice providers, with home health providers, with independent home care providers, with educators in the community, all of those things moving towards keeping our 500 independent residents well and where they're at, and ensuring if they do have a spell of illness that we're helping them recover and hopefully get back to that higher level of independence that they want.
So you talk about how your current residents are getting benefit from having someone like Shannon in place, and again, being connected to all things health and wellness, whether they're preventative or reactive across your levels of care, and that's great. What do you think, in addition to that, Ryan, is the value add, even from a prospective residence lens? So somebody who's looking to possibly retire at Rolling Green Village, call it home, possibly do some short-term rehab in your community as well. What do you think is the value add to those individuals?
I think it's somebody to help them to navigate the choppy waters that are Medicare and is our healthcare system. Unfortunately, folks, just the everyday person doesn't know enough about the healthcare system or even about how to walk through that process, you know, with an experience. So, you know, having Shannon on your team as a resident doesn't cost anything per se out of pocket, but somebody who has worked within acute care, has worked within long-term care, to talk them through what to expect, what to experience, any questions they have, any concerns that they have, just to move forward with somebody on your team. You know, I feel like I don't know enough about my healthcare, and I've been doing this for over 12 years. To think that somebody in their 70s or their 80s can navigate this on their own, particularly if they don't have adult children that have some of that expertise or just learning as they go, it's great to have somebody you can talk to that can walk alongside you through whatever spell of illness or whatever chronic disease or just acute episode that happens.
And Ryan, you talked earlier at a high level about why this is important or why this is a value to some of those healthcare partners, healthcare referral sources that you're looking to establish some credible relationships with. Can you get a little bit more specific as to how you've positioned your navigation program? And again, having Shannon as your navigator as a tangible part of why it makes sense to partner with your community?
Yeah, we've brought her along with us for the partnership meetings that we hold on a monthly basis, and she's got a seat at the table, and she's learning and listening, and she's extending continued support for our residents that are in and out of the health systems. So she's another point of contact for our health system partners, particularly with those home health providers, those case managers, to ensure that when folks leave their hospital, come to us, that they go home and that they stay safe and they stay well at home. And she can continue to follow them. She's making house visits, home visits to check on folks. She's following up on ensuring that there is transportation to the next orthopedic or, you know, specialist appointment. She is helping to support whether it's their medication management, whether it's having some home care to allow somebody to stay well in their home a little bit longer. So she's coordinating a lot of those aspects of care that particularly in some cases adult children are not aware of or they're hesitant to step in. You know, having her on the team helps to overall provide that higher level of population health that brings value to those hospital partners to see that, you know, Rolling Green Village, this lady is going to go back there, but she's also going to be followed by somebody who is embedded in that community to ensure that they stay well and stay out of the hospital.
That's got to be pretty key for them, I imagine, to actually have her be a part of the meetings. They could put a name with a face. And so there's got to be a nice degree of trust there. And again, credibility for them to know, here's who is the face of navigation at Rolling Green Village.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has.
What would you say, Ryan, are some next steps that you and your community plan on taking to further advance the scope and reach of your navigation program, the different efforts and initiatives that you guys might have going on?
One of the big things we're continuing to ramp up is education on the independent living side. So Shannon bringing in different connections that she's making in the community to talk through how we can help our folks stay well, whether it's a blood pressure clinic for a day, whether it's somebody to come in and talk about diabetes, or whether it's talking about medication management and med reconciliation. Those are some initiatives that we're moving forward with Shannon being the champion of. On the other piece is us helping to continue to gather outcomes and measure those outcomes so we can share those with our partners in the community with life care services and across the country to show the value that this brings, not only for our residents, but also for those partnerships that we have and continuing to move forward with the commitment for when folks come, whether it's a bundle payment or a Medicare shared savings person, that they're going to be successful when they come to Rolling Green Village. It's very different experience that they have if they were to be here than if they were being in the greater Greenville community. So those are just two things that we're working on moving forward to continue to be one of the leaders in this area.
Yeah, I think the latter is key in particular. We're trying our best to align specific metrics and outcomes with navigation so that communities can go beyond saying, as valuable as it is to say, we have a navigator and this well-rounded, well-established navigation program. Here's what lets us know data-wise that we're effective as far as our navigation efforts go. So I think that's a great next step for you and your community.
Yeah, we've definitely learned with the relationships of the hospitals that you can't just have a handshake and present well. You've got to come with the data. You've got to be able to show outcomes, and you want to create those outcomes and those opportunities to support what the hospital systems are doing. So you want to be that provider that's filling a niche for them, that's helping to support one of their significant needs, whether it's respiratory therapy or after folks leave, making sure that when they get home, they're going to safely be able to set up transportation, have the correct medication routine in place, and then also ensure that they're getting those psychosocial aspects squared away. And that's what the navigator does for us. And we've seen the need to continue to recreate those outcomes as we move forward. We can't just say we're doing it. You're right. We've got to make sure we have a better way of quantifying those outcomes.
Well, Ryan, Meredith and I surely appreciate your time today and just sharing again a couple of the specific aspects of your post-acute care strategy, what you're doing as far as leveraging some of these partnerships, some of these programs. And most importantly, it's great to hear how it's having a positive impact on the residents and even some of the non-residents that you're serving at Rolling Green Village. So we appreciate your time. We thank you for joining us. Any final parting words from either of you?
But just keep on doing what you're doing, Ryan. You're an awesome case study for us. We're really excited with how innovative you are, how you take some of the strategies and things that we try to get to our communities to implement and just take off running. So we appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to point out that, the gentle nudge that folks with Life Care Services have given us as we've jumped into the strategy has been very, very appreciated. We can't do this alone. We appreciate the ability to think and to come up with some ideas to help us execute our strategy. We're definitely not doing this alone, and we very much appreciate the support that folks like yourself, Meredith and Tony and Cindy have provided us, because that's how we've gotten to where we are. It's not by just myself or Bob, but it's with us. So thank you.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks all for listening and look forward to talking again back soon. Have a great rest of the day, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Meredith.
Legal disclaimer. Life Care Services, LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.